Thank you again for listening to me today. I might have a little water today here, just so you know. But I believe God has a message for you today, and so I'm gonna get through this, and so are you. Need a little competition here this morning. How many of you remember these wonderful little things that I have here? Some of you think you can do it pretty good, so if you think you can do it pretty good, come here. Obviously, nobody thinks they can do it pretty good. Anybody want to challenge me in the competition today? See? Yeah. You're watching me going, there's no way I can compete with that kid. You want to compete against me, Henry? You don't want to? Come here, Henry. Can I borrow you, please? Is that right? Oh, this is perfect. This is good. Here you go. Okay, hold on. You can't cheat. You're trying to get a little, just practicing, I know, but did you see Henry getting you practicing? Hold on just a sec. Have you guys done this before? You've done it before, Carter? You've never done it before? Okay, here's the paddle. This is a rubber band. There's the ball. You try to hit the ball. Don't go like this. Don't go like this, okay? Hit the ball, okay? Can you do it? All right. On your mark. You guys ready? Get set. Go. It is kind of tough, isn't it? You're doing good. Keep it up. You know why they're laughing? Because they know the frustrating thing of this. It's tough. Okay, good job. Yep. You know what is very difficult about these things? Here, hold that one for just a second. Your parents probably have never done this because you've never seen this, but that's what happens to these things. Do you know why that is what happens to those things? Here. Grab that. Do you know what these become now? Take those home and share with your parents and see if they can figure out what those are for. Yep. Okay. Yep. Thank you. We might use those a little bit later, Henry and Carter. Thank you very much. Today, I wanted to title my message Spiritual Spanking. I really did, but I don't know if you've noticed on the sign that's along Elkville Road, the Sunday's message has been put out there. And I thought if I put that along Elkville Road, they might haul me in. I didn't want to be hauled in, and you probably wouldn't as well. At least maybe I don't think you do. So the title of the message is Spiritual Discipline. This last week, I put on Facebook, and many of you saw this, share with me a time of discipline that happened in your family as you were a child. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Did anybody see that post that I posted? If you didn't see that, go to my Facebook page and see all of the answers, and you'll see how many spankings there were. It seemed to me that those of you who would be a little bit older than me, maybe 20 years older than me, there was a lot of going to get a switch from a bush that then happened. I don't think that happens nowadays. There is some debate about spanking and whether that is right or wrong. I'm not going to deal with that issue because there's scripture that would support that. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And yet we cannot have abuse, okay? So I'm not going to talk about spanking, and maybe Jared and Lisa and Kelly and Lacey will use that on their children. I don't know, but it's not my debate on that. Here's where I want to go with the message today. God spanks or disciplines you. Some of us don't like to hear this, and it might be a tough message for some, especially if you're going through a time of, obviously, God's not spanking you, but he does discipline you. That's what the scripture tells us today. So what do we do with this discipline, and how do we handle it? So I want you to think about, maybe you found yourself today feeling like the Lord is disciplining you in some area. You should rejoice. That's what the scripture says. It doesn't use the word rejoice, but it says you should be thankful for that discipline. Let me share from God's word of why I think that's true. So join me in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to be at verse 5, and we're going to go all the way through verse 11 today. Here's what it says. "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our own good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." The first point I want you to see is we each receive discipline. I thought of the kid that goes over to the electrical socket and says, "I wonder if I can get a paperclip into an electrical socket." Each of you would say, "Don't do that to your kid." And I don't know if you'd slap them on the hand or you'd grab your spanking paddle and say, "Don't do that." You don't want your kid to do that. Running into the street is not a good thing, is it? But what do kids know? That's just fun. You just run. One of the difficulties of our building right now is that we have this door to this door, and there's just like a natural running way. I mean, why wouldn't a kid do that? The fastest way to get from point A to point B is to run. Now, the rest of us that will be a little older, you couldn't even get us to run down that hallway. But for a kid, it's running. And so why not run into the street? Those cars will stop, but we discipline them and say, "Don't run in the street." It's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We don't want our kids run over by cars. Or think of some teens that might be in the room, and they're actually behind the wheel. We discipline them to say, "No, you're not going to drive 50 miles an hour in a 25-hour zone. That's not good. So pull over and I'll start driving." We discipline, and that's not a bad thing. The scripture says, "Do not be weary when disciplined or reproved." Some of us don't do very good at this. Some of us, when we're disciplined, we pout. I have a little stuffed animal dog at my house. That was mine when I was a kid because I would pout. And the dog's name is Pout. When we get disciplined by the Lord, some of us pout. Sometimes we stew. Sometimes we go over to our corner and we just have a little issue with God. Let me tell you about this, and I'll tell you why. And when we get disciplined, sometimes we do that. Sometimes we just shy away. We say, "Well, I'm not going to do that." Sometimes we grow weary, because it says here, "Nor be weary when reproved by him." Sometimes we grow weary when the discipline comes. When God talks to your heart, know that he has your good in mind, not your bad. But many of us want to get through the easiest. It's not God smacking us around. God doesn't do that. But how do you respond to the Lord's discipline in your life? I doubt most of us enjoy it at the time, but we shouldn't lash out, but take a look at what the Lord is teaching us. Now, I begin to wonder, how does he discipline us? And if we went around the room, you might have a different answer, but I thought of some ways that he disciplines us. Here's one simple way that God disciplines us. If there's a cookie jar on the counter and mom has said not to take any cookies from the cookie jar, and we go over and we take a cookie from the cookie jar and we eat it, something happens in our conscience. Something happens in our inner self. And we start to worry about that. God disciplines us in our conscience. If you're sitting here this morning and you haven't repented of something or something is going on in your life, and God's bringing that to your conscience, then that's his discipline, saying, take care of that. Sometimes in our consciences, we just, well, it's not a big deal. And God continues to bring that back. He disciplines us by a good friend. You ever had a friend come up to you and say, you know, I don't think you should be taking that from the office because it's not yours. Well, who are you? This is the office. They're going to give it to us. It's no big deal. And a friend says, don't do that. We're disciplined by a friend. God uses that friend. Sometimes some of us in this room are disciplined by a spouse. Boy, isn't that a fun discipline? When the spouse says, boy, you're kind of cranky. Boy, you're a slob. Boy, you're really lazy. Now, what they're saying is that we need to be disciplined in an area, and so they're disciplining us, and we sure don't like that, do we? I don't. Maybe you do, as a husband, and your wife comes and says, you know, maybe you should really look at this area. I'm not saying that Manel just comes and disciplines me every day, but there are times that she says, you know, you need, oh yeah, I do. The Holy Spirit disciplines us. This is more than your conscience. This is something deep within you that you just know. God's word disciplines us. The closing of a door disciplines us. We start going down a pathway thinking, oh, this is great, this is great, this is great, this is great. And God's sending these signals, and all of a sudden we go, he slams the door and he disciplines us. Or a guy similar to me, a preacher. Sometimes he uses preachers to discipline us. I'm not sure how you were disciplined as a child. Maybe you received a spanking. Maybe all your mom and dad had to do was look at you. Some of you understand that. Some of you are like, didn't bother me. They could look at me all they wanted and it wasn't going to do anything to me. So they found another mode of correction. Sometimes there are some of you that all they had to do was speak harshly to you and say your name. Which one of my kids' names should I use? All you have to do is say one of their names and they know. Maybe for you it was the quiet chair. For me it was the quiet chair. I don't remember this, but my mom told me later that because I was so active, she would say, if she had just had enough, eventually she would say, okay, you need to go sit in the quiet chair for 5 minutes. And I would say, no, not the quiet chair. Because I had to sit there and be quiet. Maybe you were grounded. As adults, we can receive discipline. Sometimes we receive discipline by this person that has a little badge on called a policeman, or this person that wears a robe and has a gavel called a judge. Sometimes we receive discipline from a boss who says, you're not doing your job, or a corporation. Job 5 says, behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Second thing I see is we are disciplined as sons. I love my boys, I love my daughters, and I wonder where they're going to be in 40 years from now. I have some guesses of that, but what about those that are in your home, that are in your neighborhood? Where are they going to be? Dads in the room, you must be careful with this. Hear me in this. If you're a dad in the room and you have a child in the home, you have to discipline. You must lead in discipline. I think it's valuable for both fathers and mothers, but the scripture says it is discipline. God is treating you as sons. There's something he's saying to us as dads. Moms are nurturers, and I think they kind of gravitate more to discipline in their nature because they're nurturers and they have some discipline. Now, sometimes they're more lenient than that, but I think as dads, we need to discipline our children. Now, for those of you who are boys in the room or girls in the room, I'm not telling dads just to go spank away, all right? So don't just take that paddle and spank. You need to discipline however the Lord leads you. But fathers, you need to get in touch with your children. When they sin, which they will, when they make a mistake, when they talk back to you, when they talk back to their mother, when they talk back to whatever, don't rely on your vocal cords to yell at your children. Don't allow your hand to be so harsh to your child, but lovingly instruct. I think as dads, we must do this, or our children may not turn out as we really want them to. Part of, and this applies to everybody, more than just dads, part of our disciplining others results in the disciplining of ourselves. Now, this word here is talking about discipline. Discipline meaning correction in my mind. But have you ever been in a spot, have you ever been in a spot where you're instructing someone else in something and you don't do it yourself? Now, doesn't that, as the pot calling the kettle black, you know, you're like, hold on here. How are you telling me I should do this, but you don't do this? Now, son, don't take the Lord's name in vain. And yet you do. Now, daughter, don't leave your room a mess. And you never make your bed. Hear me in this. In order to discipline dads and anyone else, we need to be disciplined ourselves. Some of us as dads in the room go to bed late. We sleep in. We don't lead our children in devotions or prayer. We don't bring them to church. Moms can take care of that. No, they can't. I mean, they can. Discipline is actually a good word. Think about this. If it weren't for disciplined people, we wouldn't enjoy many pleasures in life. Somebody got up early this morning at Jerry's Cakes and Donuts and made some donut holes. If they wouldn't have been disciplined to make you some donut holes or make some coffee, thank you, Nancy, or may set up the crackers and cheese, you wouldn't have that. Somebody would discipline themselves in order to make that happen for you. If the car maker wasn't disciplined and show up to work, you wouldn't have driven your car today. I don't care. I don't need to go to work. No big deal. They were disciplined. If the fueler didn't stay disciplined and fuel up the airplane that I fly on, then things would go down very quickly, wouldn't they? If you weren't disciplined to show up for work, your paycheck would not arrive as well. Discipline is a very important part of our lives. But I want to talk to dads for just one more moment. Dads, take this discipline from me. Be disciplined in order to discipline. Don't expect your wife to do everything around the house. Dads, empty the trash. Dads, make your beds. And on it goes. Be disciplined in order to discipline. John Newton says this. When people are right with God, they are apt to be hard on themselves and easy on other people. But when they are not right with God, they are easy on themselves and hard on others. Dads, discipline your children or someone else will. We must understand that we're receiving this discipline from a loving Father, from God, who wants the best for us. And so we need to know God is lovingly disciplining us. Number three, discipline happens in certain times. In verse 10, it says, for they disciplined us for a short time. If you're training for something specific, you train in that way. if I'm going to be in a bench press competition, I'm not worried about my legs. I'm not worried about twirling a baton. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to spend my time working on the bench press. In the same way, God disciplines us in a certain way for a certain time. And God might be disciplining you a certain way right now that you need it. Don't disregard it. Don't miss the steps. And we don't just receive Christ and say, oh, no big deal. No, we receive Christ and then Christ says, I want to discipline you. I want you to grow. And in order to grow, you have to be disciplined. Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law. And this is what happens. Discipline reaps immense rewards. Someone gave me a perspective on the Facebook post that I had. And here's what he said. One day, my dad led me to my room. He took off his belt, handed it to me. He knelt by the bed and said, I don't know what to do, so you spank me. And this man said, that was the first time I understood the humility and the emotion of the cross and redemption. I couldn't spank him, and he never had to spank me again. I understood he loved me more than I could imagine. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says that he was crushed for our sins. And because he was crushed for our sins, he enables us to be disciplined. I contend that many of us desire, like, we hope for great rewards. But most of the time, a high majority of the time, they only come through discipline. Very rarely do we win things through the lottery, if you will. Many times we have to be disciplined in order to make it happen. It says this, and you may want to underline this word in verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But, and here's the word, later, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. I sure wish I could tell you what later is. And you may say, but I'd like to have it now. And maybe it would be this afternoon. But when the Lord is disciplining, know that later it's going to bring forth a peaceful fruit of righteousness. And I think that we should catch on to this passage because we were just at Hebrews 12, verse 1. And the cloud of witnesses is cheering us on saying, go through a time of discipline. It's okay. You can do it. Abel did it. Joseph did it. Moses did it. So I wonder what discipline you're involved in today. Think about this for just a moment. Think about your child talking back to the teacher. Now, if your child talks back to the teacher, what do? Oh, no big deal. Yeah, feel free. Just do whatever you want to. No, we would say, you shouldn't do that. That shows a lack of respect for authority, whether a teacher is right or not. But a child might not understand why they're being disciplined, but 20 years from now, they'll understand. Because when they have a boss and the boss says, don't do that, if they've not learned the respect for authority, then they're not disciplined. Sometimes we ask the question, why me, Lord? What did I do to deserve this? And it's in a tone that we regard it as an unjust punishment. Maybe we should ask it this way instead. What are you, God, the wise sovereign God over all creation, from the beginning to the end, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to help me to learn? And then catch this. In verse 10, maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. Why are we disciplined by the Lord? Did you catch it? Here's what it says at the end of verse 10. We are disciplined by the Lord to share in his holiness. Now, if you want something to think about all week long, you think about that. God wants you to share in his holiness, and that's why he disciplines you. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, do you understand? We get to share in God's holiness. Some of you aren't convinced, I don't think. But here's what happens. Later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God loves you very much. And though you think, boy, this spanking right now is not going well, this discipline kind of hurts. I sure don't like sitting in my room all by myself, or I've been in the corner way too long. Know that God's discipline provides a peaceful fruit of righteousness to share in God's holiness. If you're going through a time of discipline today, know that it's good for you. If you're not going through a time of discipline today, hear me in this. You will. And how will you respond? Here's what God's word says. You should respond, and though it's not, though in verse 11 it says, discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. You look at it and say, later, God is bringing something out of me. God is coming to bring something in my life that I need. No, he's a loving father. And the reward will be far greater than we ever know. Maybe the reward will be in heaven. But even if it's in heaven, praise God for that. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you as we conclude our service. Lord Jesus, thank you for your discipline. Sometimes it's very painful and not very pleasant at all. And yet you help us through that. Lord Jesus, I just pray for somebody here today. Their conscience is even bothering them right now. The Holy Spirit is speaking to them. And I just pray that the discipline that each of us go through, we would know that it's bringing a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Thank you for your discipline. Help us to be ones that are disciplined by you, and not to reject that, but to receive that because you're our loving Father. I pray that you would go before us and that you would enable us to respond to the discipline that you've provided for us. May you this week be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and may you guard every footstep. We love you and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.